morning.
Good morning.
We're so glad you're here this morning. And a couple of things I'd like to bring attention to. As you notice, there's some blue tape, different pews. And what we did is the session decided we'd try to separate as much as possible to meet the requirements for what the state and the city's levying on us. Okay. Another thing is communion is going to be this morning, and there's only two of the elders. It's going to be serving communion, and so we're asking, and I'm noticing everybody is pretty much done what we've wanted to do anyway, is to sit on either the inside or the outside of the pews, and the elders are going to come down with the elements and come down the outside first, come across the back, and come back down the center to wind up down front, okay? So it'll be a little slower than normal. And you'll notice also as we pass the elements around that they've been separated considerably on the trays, so we did that in order to hopefully eliminate any contamination. If you don't feel comfortable doing it, please, you know, just let it pass, and no one's going to blame you for that. Okay. The Wednesday evening Bible study is going to be this Wednesday at 6:30. And if you haven't been attending or what have you, you're really missing a golden opportunity to have some fellowship and learn an awful lot. I know I find it very, very beneficial to me, okay? So, and I think my wife has got an announcement she'd like to come up and make.
Since I know this is being recorded, the full service, I thought everyone would like to know. Jenna Cox, you know, daughter of Reverend Tom and Kelly Cox, who was here previously, has earned her associate degree of arts degree, and so she finished up at Wake Tech, but she received her degree from AB Tech. She's going to be continuing for the program of the arts of Bachelor of Arts degree from Liberty University online. If you would like to send her a card, her address, they have moved again, so their address is on the bulletin board downstairs. And I'm not giving it to you now because this is going online, and we also have a post online too, but I'm not putting that out. So if you do want the address, either call me or the address is on the bulletin board. All right? So send your congratulations to Jenna. I'm sure she would appreciate it. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements?
Yeah. We're going to have a choir rehearsal on June 24th. All right, so choir members, start vocalizing. Get back in shape.
Okay, any other announcements? Okay, if not, turn your bulletin unless go to the unison reading that's printed on the inside of the front cover. And it reads,
oh, God.
continue our time of worship together this morning by standing and singing the choral call to worship that's printed right here in your bulletin. And take note that the chorus line, the hallelujahs, that will repeat also. So I forgot to put that in there, but it does repeat.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just praising your name and lifting it up and asking that your spirit be here with us. We ask, Lord, that you guide us, direct us, and keep us safe, Lord, during this time that we're facing. We ask also that you be with those who can't be here this morning for whatever reason, Lord, and just put your arms of comfort around them and a shield of protection. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our hymn of praise this morning is number 94 in your hymnal. 94. Praise him, praise him. Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing of his wonderful love, proclaim. Hail him, highest of angels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. Excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, praise him.
Please be seated. If you would, take your bulletin and turn to the inside cover, and we're doing the shorter catechisms, and today it's question 49. I'll read the question, and you read the answer. It's printed in bold. Question 49 reads, which is the second commandment?
The second commandment is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto him, nor serve him, for I am the Lord thy God, and a jealous God. This is the iniquity of the fathers upon the children,
Now, if you'll turn in your hymnal to number 187. 187. Before the throne of God above.
As we come to a time our tithes and offerings, I'd like to read Proverbs 11:25, and it reads, whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes and offerings to your storehouse and ask that you bless each gift, Lord, and each giver. We ask especially, Lord, that you help us as a church to use these gifts to further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As we come together on this Lord's Day, it is a time when we can lift up those prayers of our loved ones, the prayers for our church, prayers for our community, and certainly we have a lot to pray for today. We've also asked to pray for David and Kathy Matheson's daughter-in-law's mother who just passed away. We want to pray for the family. Her name is Betty. Her grandmother, okay. Okay, and that's for the family of Betty. And so we're going to pray for them this morning, and then also for those prayers that are listed here in our bulletin. So let's bow as we come to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, with all that's going on around us right now, we're grateful and thankful that we have a God who is unruffled, a God who knows the end from the beginning, and a God who is sovereign, even over the events that are happening in this country and around the world. And Father, we come to you as our Lord and as our Savior and call upon your name. We pray for protection over our loved ones. We pray for guidance for those who are in positions of authority, that they would rule justly and fairly in these matters that are before us. And Lord, again, we're distressed over all that's taking place. And Lord, you are our shield. You're our rock. You're the one that we stand on and call upon for help and for protection. And so we call upon you this morning as our Lord and as our God. Our Father, we remember those here in our congregation who are going through distress. And Lord, we ask for your mercy, for your healing, both physical and spiritual healing. Our Father, we pray for Nancy Watkins and ask you to continue to help her and strengthen her in the loss of her husband. We pray for those here in our congregation who can't be with us today because of health reasons or for other circumstances and maybe listening right now or this afternoon over the internet. And Lord, we pray that your hand would reach out to them and touch them and help them physically. We pray for an end to fear and panic and ask that we might place our trust in you as our Lord and Savior. And Father, not throwing caution to the wind, but at the same time, believing and trusting in you that you will protect us. Our Lord, we pray for those special needs that have been mentioned here in our bulletin. Lord, we pray for the missionaries of this week. We pray for Ellen Bennett, Mission to the World in Mexico. We ask, Lord, in this troubled country, that you would help her and give her safety, that you would protect her, and that you would strengthen her during this time. And Lord, also for the persecuted church in Nigeria, the tremendous difficulties that they're going through right now, our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being put to death there in Nigeria because of their faith. We ask, Lord, that you would protect them and put a wall of protection around them. Our Lord, we also pray for our denomination, for the Presbyterian Church in America and for its administrative committee. And Lord, for the changes that they're having to endure right now because of the restrictions. And we ask, Lord, that you would help them and give them wisdom. Our Father, we do pray also for David and Kathy's daughter-in-law's grandmother. We pray, Father, for the family, Betty's family. We ask that you would help them through this time in the loss of a loved one. And Father, also for the other families that maybe have seen the loss of loved ones even through this past week. We ask, Lord, for your protection and for your mercy onto them. And Lord, for our congregation, for our church, we ask that you'd help us to keep our eyes on you as the author and perfecter of our faith. And Lord, we can't give explanations for everything that's happening, but we know that you are working all things together for good for those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. And Lord, we trust you through this time, knowing that the plan that you have for us is for good and not for evil. I pray for this morning, and even as we come to the Lord's Supper, that you would help us to honor our covenant with you and with one another, and that we would be strengthened through this time together. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 343. This is a hymn version of a choir anthem that we've done numerous times on Communion Sunday. Please stand and we'll sing this together, number 343, the Communion Hymn.
Thank you.
Please be seated. The words to that hymn are so beautiful and so meaningful. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning. And this is found in 1 Kings 19, verses 1 to 13. 1 Kings 19, 1 to 13. And hear now the word of God. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah has done and how he had killed the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to you and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid and he arose and he ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank, and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. And there he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel has forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And may God add to understanding this portion of his holy word. You know, our nation is in the midst of a severe testing. We're being tested. We've gone through several months of lockdown where we've seen many of our freedoms being taken away. We've seen social distancing. We've seen our churches suffer. We've seen our businesses close down. We're being put to a great test right now. Now we're experiencing riots. We're experiencing social unrest. And we look at all this and we say, "How long, Lord? What's happening here? Where are you in all this?" And you know, it's easy to look at everything and to get depressed and to get discouraged. I'll bet if we went around the room and asked people, you know, are you full of happiness this morning? Are you full of joy? Probably the great majority of us would say, no, I am upset and I'm concerned and I'm discouraged. Pretty natural reaction. You know, depression and discouragement can color our view of life. It can color the way we look at tomorrow, the way we look down the road. We may wonder, will things ever be the way they used to be? Will our churches ever regain? Will our stores ever reopen? What'll happen? Will the restaurants that we love to go to, are they going to close down forever? You know, depression kind of creeps up on us slowly. until everything seems to look hopeless for us. You know, this is what happened to the prophet Elijah. And I would encourage you to read 1 Kings chapter 18, which leads up to the passage that we read this morning as far as what happened. You know, it's one of those events in church history that tend to get us really excited about this tremendous victory that Elijah won against the prophets of Baal. No, Elijah saw that the people were turning away from God. They were forsaking their covenant with God, and they were worshiping the gods of the land. Now, you know, we don't feel any threat by that because, you know, we don't worship Moloch. There's nobody around that worships Moloch or Dagon or Baal or, you know, not those gods by name. But we also know from Scripture that those gods represented the very same things that we worship today. The pride of life, the power, the finances, the money. All of these things are still being worshiped today. The same gods that tempted God's people in the promised land are tempting us today here in America. We're tempted to forsake God and worship these things that the world worships. Well, that was a time when Elijah spoke with Ahab, the king, and said, listen, whether people should worship your gods or they should worship my God, you be the judge. Let's have a little test here. Let's go out and take two oxen, and we'll give one oxen to the prophets of Baal, and I'll take the other oxen, and we'll prepare them for sacrifice, and then we'll call on our God. You call on Baal, I'll call on my God, the God Jehovah, and we'll see which God answers. And everybody said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do it. So they gathered the 450 prophets of Baal. They all got together and they prepared their sacrifice and they called on Baal. They called on him from early morning until past noon, crying out to him, cutting themselves, doing everything that they could. And Elijah looked at him and said, well, maybe your God went somewhere. Maybe he went on vacation. Maybe he's, you know, and he came up with all these ridiculous things. I'm not even going to talk about all the things that he said, questioned, but he mocked them. And then he said, all right, now it's my turn. I want you to go out and I want you to get buckets and buckets of water and I want you to pour it all over the sacrifice. Pour it all over what the oxen, that the ox that's been sectioned off for sacrifice. I want you to pour it all around it. In fact, he built a moat around it, and the moat was filled up with water. He did three different times they poured water on it. And then he called out on the living God, and he said, God, show who you are. Show who the real God is. And fire came down out of heaven, and it consumed the sacrifice. It consumed all the wood that had been soaked. It even burned up all the water that was in the trenches around it. And all the people said, the Lord God is our God. He is our God. Well, you know, after a victory like that, you know, he had to be on a mountaintop experience right then. You know, he had just seen God do a tremendous thing to show who he was. But then Ahab went back and told his wife Jezebel, who was a very cruel and wicked woman. And she said, that's it. I've had it with this prophet. And sent him a note and said, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead. Great threat against the prophet of God. And this wasn't one of those times when he stood up and said, you can't talk to me like that. I'm a prophet of the living God. No, he became afraid. He was terrified. He went into panic mode. And we can see what happened here. He ran. He fled the situation. And he went out. And first he dropped off his servant, and then he went out into the wilderness. And while he was out in the wilderness, he laid under a broom tree and he said, Lord, I've had it. I've been through so much of this. I can't take any more. I want you to kill me right now. Just let me end my life. I don't want to live anymore. Gosh, can you imagine a great prophet like Elijah saying something like that? But you see, that's what discouragement will do. It causes us to take our eyes off of God, off of who He is, off of the things that He's done in our lives, and put them on the circumstances. And the circumstances at times look so helpless and hopeless. Elijah became depressed and discouraged and ran away from God and asked that God end his life. Just take me, Lord. Can't go through this anymore. So what really is discouragement? You ever think about what that word is? You know, it comes from the Latin word cur. It's also in French. It means heart. And to discourage means to take the heart out of. To encourage means to put the heart in. But to discourage means to take the heart out, to lose heart, to lose the enthusiasm for life. And there are two kinds of discouragement. There's the immediate discouragement, and there's a long-term discouragement. And I really believe that here in this country, we've moved from one to the other. In the beginning, we were experiencing an immediate discouragement because of things that were going on. But now, as time passes, week after week, and actually month after month, we're moving into this long-term feeling of discouragement, like, will this ever end? Will things ever be the way that they used to be? And you know, both of these, whether they're the immediate or the long-term, are both a result of well-planned attacks. And you might be saying, oh boy, here we go. This is a, you know, he's going to talk about all the terrible things that are going. No. This is not a human attack. This is an attack from our enemy. It's a well-planned attack and a test on our faith. That's what it is. Peter talks about this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. It says this, "Be sober-minded and be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." That's 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. I read a long time ago that the devil has a little trick. He calls the 5 D's. And this is the way that he breaks down people's faith in the Lord. The 5 D's, it's disappointment, discouragement, depression, defeat, destruction. It's a stepwise process. And I have to tell you, we are in that process right now as a nation, and we're in that process as a church. It's a well-planned attack, and it's working. We're not alone. The believers all over the world are going through the very same thing. It's not just here in Asheville or here in North Carolina or here in the United States. God's people all over the world right now are under attack. And it's working. Well, when does this discouragement hit us? Well, first of all, when we're worried or we're anxious. You know, you look at Elijah. This is what was happening to him. He heard something that he couldn't get his mind around, couldn't get his faith around. And he got worried about it. He was concerned about it. And many times when we get discouraged, it's tied to circumstances, to things that we can't seem to work out in our mind. That could be financial. You know, well, how are we going to pay that bill? Where's the money going to come from to do these things? It could be physical. Getting a bad report from a doctor or worried about getting a bad report from a doctor. You know, it could be physical. In fact, you know, there's an old Southern expression that I didn't learn until I started living in the South, and that's people say that they're feeling puny. People are feeling puny? Well, think about puny. What does puny mean? You know, it means I'm not up to myself. I'm not in full strength. I'm not firing on all cylinders. I'm feeling kind of puny today. And when that happens, we're a good target for discouragement, for depression. I remember hearing about Billy Graham And he would talk about the great crusades that he would do in these cities. And he said, you know, we would be attacked before we even got to town. We'd be attacked with sickness and illness. We'd be attacked with financial problems. We'd be attacked in all these different areas. And he said it was easy for us to fall into depression. Is it going to work out? Is it going to happen? And yet when the time came, the Lord was always there and continued to bless them. So it could be because of different circumstances. It could be because of the fact that we're just not feeling up to it, maybe physically. It also happens when we're facing extended trials, times when we've been under the gun for a long period of time. And you see, that's what I see happening in the churches today because of COVID-19 and now because of the riots that are taking place. Church people are feeling weary. They're wondering, well, God, how long are you going to let this go on? Is this just a state of affairs from now on? What's going to happen? This extended trial, it might not even be that. It might be something beyond that. I mean, it could be marital conflicts, or it could be family disputes. It could be other issues like being criticized by other people. That's like an arrow that goes straight into our heart. And over time, it wears you down. It causes you to be discouraged. I just don't want to do it anymore. Have you ever said like Elijah did, Lord, just end my life. I'm tired of it all. I've been fighting this battle for so long. Just take my life. I don't want to live anymore. So if I ended it here, this would be pretty hopeless. But how do we beat it? How do we beat discouragement? You know, there's a verse in Luke that talks about the life of Jesus. This is in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And it says this, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man." He talked about four different areas. The first one was the mental area. You know, Jesus increased in wisdom. This is an understanding, an application of knowledge. We looked at this Wednesday night in our Bible study. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the application of knowledge to real life situations. So the first thing we do in trying to beat discouragement is to look at the mental. Are we worried? Are we anxious? Are we dealing with guilt over things? You know, the word anxious literally is the word divided mind. It means that we may believe this, but we're acting as if this were the truth, and it's pulling us apart. That's anxiety. That's what it means. Or worry. Worry is the same thing. It's being concerned over something that may or may not even happen. But it's affecting us. It's affecting the way we act and the way we behave. Guilt. You know, there's only one answer to guilt. Do you remember back years ago when they used to do shock treatments on mental patients? And they would give mental patients shock treatments. They don't do that anymore because they found out that shock treatments will completely wash the brain. It completely removes everything except for one thing, and that's guilt. And guilt is usually the reason why people are there. There's only one answer to guilt, and that's forgiveness. And there's only one way to get forgiveness, and that's through Jesus Christ. Coming to Him, asking Him to forgive you. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that includes guilt. We're cleansed from it. So we check the mental, first of all. What's our mental state? The second thing is to check our physical. You know, sometimes we get into depression or discouragement because of physical reasons. And maybe we need to look at the physical. Are we eating properly? Are we getting enough rest? Are we staying active during the gloomy days? And I honestly believe that being shut in indoors for several months is not good for our physical situation. That's one of the reasons why it's important that we get outside. If you don't want to go where there are other people, get outside into the sunshine. Do you know, they've said that COVID virus can last 2 seconds in sunlight. So why not get sunshine, get fresh air, eat good food, drink good water, get sleep? And you think, what are you, a doctor now? Well, no, I'm not. But here's the thing. I think that those things relate to the spiritual, and that's why I'm speaking about it this morning. So we check the mental, we check the physical, and we check the spiritual. We check the spiritual. And that is, we need to be feeding ourselves with God's word. We need to be immersing ourselves into the things of the Lord. I want to read something here. This is Isaiah chapter 41. I'm sorry, Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3. And it says this. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Now, I don't think God means that any less today than he meant it then. He is our protector. He's the one who watches over us. We need to be able to check our spiritual well-being and make sure that we're not drying up in that area. One of the great difficulties in separating ourselves from the body of Christ is that we lose that fervor. We lose that incentive to be in God's word. And whether you're here today or you're listening to this over the internet, I want to encourage you, figure out a time each day when you can come to the Lord and read his word and pray to him, talk to him. It's essential. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God. And the fourth one is favor with man. And that is, it's important that we spend time with family and friends. It's important. I know some of you have cell phones with a little app on there. Called FaceTime, where you can actually call somebody and you can see them, you can see their face, and they can see you. You know, where we live, we're still in the 19th century, so we don't have cell phone service out where we are, and we can't do that. But we are able to get online on Skype or whatever and be able to communicate with family and friends. It's very important. It's very important for those who are able to come and worship on Sunday. To see people, see your church people, see your friends. It's important not to neglect the church. This is the body of Christ. It's not just a social organization like the Lions Club or the Rotary. This is the body of Christ. It's important from God's perspective to be here. He said, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. We should be together. I know that there are people that can't. God bless you. I know that. And don't feel guilty about that. It's important that you protect yourself. But those who are able, you need to come and worship the Lord together in the house of God. Don't neglect the church. Now, here's the thing. The churches in America right now are being sifted. We're being sifted. Do you remember Jesus told Peter, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat. We're being sifted. We're being put to the test. We're being tried. And you know what? Out of this, I think it's going to take a while for us to rebuild. There may even be churches that can't survive this, that they go under. We're being sifted. But I know that as we're being sifted, the Lord is here with us. He's helping us. He's encouraging us. He's strengthening us. From the inside out, he's strengthening us as a body. You know, during this time, we have a temptation to just set aside God's rules and God's regulations, and we can't do that. You know, this is a time when we need to be respectful to one another. We need to be loving to one another. We should watch what we say and how we act. God didn't set aside his rules to love one another because of COVID-19. We still have a responsibility to be respectful the way we treat one another and to love one another, to put other people's needs above our own. That's what we're commanded to do. Now, you know what? We're here today to take the Lord's Supper, communion. What's communion mean? It means that we're communing with one another as we commune with our Heavenly Father. We believe that it's one of the sacraments of the new covenant. There are two sacraments, we believe, and that's baptism and the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper represents the covenant that we've made with God. And that covenant basically says, I will love the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, my strength, my mind. And I'll love my neighbor as myself. The two parts of the cross, the vertical, love the Lord your God. The horizontal, love one another. How many times did Jesus say, love one another? Put others before yourself. That's our covenant with God. We're here to take the Lord's Supper, to remember the covenant that we've made with Him. It's a very important time for us. Our covenant has the stipulations, not only on how we honor the Lord, but how we behave. It's a promise that we're making to God, a covenant with Him. And you know, every time that we approach the Lord's table, there are three things that are foremost in our minds. And the first one is remember. And that is remember the price that was paid for you and for me. Remember that it was the precious blood of Jesus that opened up the door to our salvation, that we could live with Him forever. Remember that God loved us before we ever loved Him and gave up His life that we might have life. Remember that and then repent. It's a time for us to consider our own lives before the Lord, how we're living, what we're doing, and to ask God for forgiveness for those times when we have failed. We all fail. But He says, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from that unrighteousness. So we remember and we repent, and then we return. We return to the Lord. Lord, you are my God and I am your person. Just like those individuals did on that day when fire came down and consumed the sacrifice, and they all turned around and they said, Jehovah is our God. He's the God. And our God will be victorious over this COVID-19. He's going to be victorious over these riots that are going on and the evil that's trying to destroy our nation. Read Psalm 2. It's all right there. He who sits on high laughs. Why do the nations rage? God knows the end from the beginning. And He will lead His people into victory. But we need to trust Him and we need to honor His covenant, not only with Him, but with one another. And that's what we're here for this morning. And that is to remember our covenant with God. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before You now in this moment, considering the body that was broken and the blood that was shed, the life that was given that we might have life. And Lord, we recognize in so many ways how we have failed You, how we failed one another. We ask for Your forgiveness. We ask, Lord, that You would wash us and purge us, that we might be renewed in heart and in spirit, and that as we come to You this morning, it might be in victory and not in defeat. Lord, I pray that You would encourage us, encourage those who've been discouraged, who have been depressed and wondering about life. I pray, Lord, instead that You would help us to realize that as Your children, that we have already won the victory. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, for it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Hear the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper
as they're given to us by the Apostle Paul. And this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. And it says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's bow and pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to this table as your children, as those who believe and trust in you. And Father, I pray that you would, your Holy Spirit might be here to lead us as we remember the work that you've done in our lives, that you've called us out of darkness and into light. We ask, Lord, that you would encourage us to repent, to remember and repent of those things that we've done against you and against your people. And Lord, that we would return in our hearts as your children to surrender ourselves to you and say, as the people of Israel said, "Jehovah is our God. He is the Almighty God." We ask, Lord, now for your Holy Spirit to attend the serving of these elements. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, in the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat ye all of it." In the same way, Jesus took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant shed for the remission of sin. Drink ye all of it." Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat you all of it." In the same way also, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant, shed for the forgiveness of sin. Drink ye all of it." If you would, you may drink as the Spirit leads you, as the Lord leads you. Jesus said, "This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sin. Drink ye all of it." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we surrender ourselves to you. You are our Lord and our God. We pray even in this moment that your Holy Spirit would be refreshing our hearts and our spirits, that we might walk in the victory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Now please turn in your hymnal to number 188. 188, we'll sing the first three verses here and then the fourth verse for a benediction response. Please stand and let's sing this together. Number 188, "Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness."
Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness.
Please bow for the benediction. And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.